So, interestingly enough, we live in interesting times these days. And we see with the whole events what's happening in the world. And I am reminded what Paul had to preach about last week. There'll be perilous times. There'll be dangerous times. And that's the way it's been for many years now, depending on which part of the world you live in, of course. But as we look into the book of James here, as we continue on, last week, finishing up in chapter 3, looking at the wisdom between the world, and we look at godly wisdom, there's a vast difference. And of course, I looked at the woke issue, and there are some things that jumped out at me in the scripture. What I mean jumped out at me is like God saying, I want your attention. Get attention. Attention. You know, if you ever been in the military, that means stand up, you know, pay attention, because your life may count on it. And it's just as well, spiritually, we are targets for Satan. He hates this church. He does not want it to prosper. He does not like our doctrine. We just simply believe in the inspired word of God, and we don't add anything onto it. We don't take away from anything from it, but we preach expository preaching. So, the church, like in James' day, is just like it was today. They had their issues, and James is addressing these issues here. And I entitled this message, Are We a Friend of the World or God? And it's interesting because philosophy and different movements can creep into the church without people even realizing it. And there are many churches today that have died, they're dead, because, you know, look, they might be grandeur, beautiful, with all the gaudiness all over the place. Just the picture of heaven. That's why these churches were, these giant cathedrals were built years ago in Europe, to give a picture of heaven. Well, what's happened today is that they've taken the word of God out of the churches and they replaced it with humanism, different philosophies, and, you know, worship of the saints. And we can just go on and on. Okay. But it's there. And if we're a true child of God, when we read God's word, our spirit will bear witness with that. So with that is being said, James is addressing another problem here. Where do wars and fights come among you? Do they not come from what you have, from your desires of pleasure, that war in your members? So there's two things that called to my attention. There's a warfare going on. And because there's strife and division, there's also, too, that people have a desire to want their pleasures to be fulfilled. Now, just hold on a minute here. Verse 2 says, the lust and you do not have. That lust has the idea of craving. You ever had a good craving for a piece of cherry pie? Well, there's nothing wrong with that. You can have desires, and that's where we get a word lust, but there's the wrong kind of lust that ensnares you. Look, food, there's all kinds of areas. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not come under the power of those things. So we have to take everything that God has given us in this realm and reality that we call it, and in this church that we believe in, we have the universal church and we have the local church. Sadly to say, a lot of local churches are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what's even sadder is if you go to a church and they don't even give an invitation. Okay? That's a wake-up call for anybody. We never presume, because that's the biggest problem is presumption with people. They think because it's a church, it's got all the answers to it. No, it's far from that. The Word of God has all the answers, and you have people there that can help you. And there's a lot of people who don't go to church anymore because of wars and divisions nowadays. A lot of people don't go to church because they're just fed up with churches. They're just tired of the whole thing. Don't give up. And we're as mature saints of God, you know what? We understand. We've been through the fire. We got that. Okay? So there's problems because of lust. I'm reminded there, too, when we were out there in Concord, and I was standing there on the bridge where the first shots were fired around the world, this shot, between the British and the Americans. And the Americans were saying no taxation without representation. Well, there's a point behind this, because at this time, you had the government persecuting the church, okay? You didn't have the church persecuting God's people at that extent there. People came over from England to get away from the tyranny. But the problem was here, back in that day, there was a lot of fear, and you had the first shots of the Revolutionary War. It was kind of interesting standing there. And I just got the sense and the presence, if you ever been somewhere, you got this sense of this presence of people were nervous. There were all kinds of people that were on either side of that bridge. And somebody, through the nervousness, it's interesting, they said that three or four different accounts, they don't know if it's the English or the Americans. Okay, he shot the first fired the first shot. Say, what happened was, is somebody got nervous, shot the first shot, and then, therefore, the British ran, the Americans went their own way. But just like in the church, when we're being shot at from our adversary, people scatter. You know, where there is no shepherd, the people scattered. And so, but they had the church back in James' day, and then they had issues of people warring together. And wars have been started because of the same issues. You have not, well, because you have not. You ask them amiss. Some people just want to be consumed with that idea. It's all about them. It's not, but it's about not what I'm thinking, is what I can do to help everybody here. That's why we're here, to help one another, to guide one another. So it says you desire pleasure and war within your members. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. Of course, we just saw that in the news the other night. People wanting to kill somebody. So, you know, one less opponent. Great. You know, why not? And you have Christians, and I've seen this happen in many churches, that even when a Christian is down and out, they'll go by and just kick them, you know, spit on them, you know. And you have Christians that I would have to say, and it's I love to be oblivious of this, but I can't hide it. It's a very sad thing. Christians should be treating other Christians the right way, and they're not in churches. And that's why you got a lot of them that are doing this. You know, there's nothing wrong with visiting churches, but I inquire to you by the grace of God to settle down. Take your time. Look for a church, okay? And make sure the doctrine is right. Don't rush into anything. Take your time. And so let God work on you. It says you lust and do not have. You murder and covet. Our idea of coveting, you want what somebody else has. And you cannot obtain. You fight in war. You do not have because you do not ask. It's interesting, in Matthew 7:7, we don't have time to turn that there, but Jesus says, ask, knock, and seek. And in that order, the idea of knocking is, in the Greek, has the idea of a very soft knock. Very soft knock. And it's not like a bam, bam, you know. It has the idea when God is a quiet, still voice. And when he speaks to you, you speak with him. You get the idea. It's like, God, you're talking to me. And I know this world would be foolish to them if they tried to figure this out. But I am trying to be a peacemaker. I am trying to make sense of my life and those around me that I love. And so we see one of the areas here why there are wars is because people weren't praying. People weren't praying. And so James is saying here, number one, you got to pray. Because that's essential. I'm very thankful. We have people that aren't here right now. We have a lot of prayer warriors. We have people online that are praying. Keep on praying because we need it. Absolutely. Because I will guarantee you everybody this past week has been going through spiritual battles. Oh, you can sense it. You're just like, wow, why is this happening? But remember, give thanks in all things and rejoice. The only these trials that you have are for a purpose, for you to grow. To grow. It's not easy. It's hard. But, you know, God bless us. God will see us through this. So we need to pray. Verse 3. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. It has the ideas you're asking way out in left field. You're not even following God's will. But for those who want to be closer to God, it gives you some steps here. That you may, you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. And boy, I tell you what, there's a lot of pleasures out there. There's a lot of things that we could do instead of God. So number two, from number one, is we got to be careful with our priorities, which we know. This is adulterers and adulteresses. In other words, spiritually speaking, for men and women. And again, there was nothing new under the sun back in that day as it is today. We have the same problem with church splits, with people getting confused and upset, leaving churches. There are a lot of them out there. A lot of people I've met that don't want to go back to church because they don't want to get hurt. They don't want to get hurt. It says, adulteresses and adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world? So we see also letter A. So there's the world, friendship with the world. What is the friendship of the world? That is anything that you put before God. You know, there's nothing wrong with being in the world, not of the world. But, you know, we have to, again, realize what does the Lord would have for me to do today? Makes it very simple, very basic. Even a child would understand that. So it says here, friendship with the world is enmity with God. It has the idea of hatred. God hates that. God wants, you know what? He died for us. He gave his life. He gave everything to us. Do you realize we have the best inheritance when we get to heaven? You know, everything that God has created, he will more than happy give to us when we get there. And he's already given us spiritual blessings. He's given us roofs over our heads. He's given us family. He's given us many things. Food. And by the way, the bread back there, grab a loaf of bread before you leave. But you know what? The wonderful part is that God hates sin and God hates the works of the world. Because why? The world is what? A system who's directed by Satan and his minions to what? Pull us away from God. The God of this age has blinded the eyes of people today that they may not see. My wife and I were asked to watch this certain individual. And we said, yeah, we will. And we listened to this one individual. And instead of using the Holy Spirit as he, this person said it was she. So, you know, and we don't need to talk. And in his sermon, he talked about, oh, we need not to talk about hell too much because it's offensive to people. That's what happens when you go to a liberal church. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Okay? There are people out there that preach that kind of stuff. It's not biblical. And, you know, thank God we have people here that are grounded in the faith. But yet, my point is that there are many people, young people. Let me give you a statistic. As it was then with evolution, they teach it in classroom as a fact. I don't want to get off the subject here. Many kids, they just did a poll recently, and they said that over 50% of the kids don't believe that it was just a story, okay, made up, but they believe it's fact. Over 50% of kids now believe it's a fact. Why? Because it's been a lie that has been repeated over and over again. So this world is enmity with God, and it's a warfare. It is constantly. So you're doing right by God now, keep on doing it. And so whatsoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns to jealousy? Isn't that neat? God is jealous of us, you know, and that just wants me to be closer to him. Because I'm seeing all the things that he can do in my life, and I underline that because I have not arrived. I've never arrived, and I'm always looking for ways to more to serve him, to glorify him. That's our ends means here. So are we going to be a friend of the world? Or are we going to be a friend of God? What a better friend that we have in Jesus, that song says. So he gives more grace. Therefore, he says out of Proverbs 30:34, God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. And that has the idea of falling into rank. Okay? And so with authority. And we see a big problem today in our country and what is being taught. There's no respect for authority anymore. You know, people are thinking what they want to do. And I wonder if the same thing is happening in churches. There is so much apostasy going on. And I'm very careful what I read and what I watch on the internet. And I try to rightly divide the word of truth and let the Holy Spirit guide me. And I tell you what, there are a lot of movements today that are not of the Lord. They're not of God. And I'm saying that because my spirit doesn't bear witness with them. Now, someone may be here and they say, well, I may agree, disagree with you, Pastor, with our friendly argument here. But you know what? You got to study the scripture, study for yourself. And, you know, come to talk to me about it. I'm not here to be divisive or whatever, but I'm trying to share in the mercies of Christ. And there are a lot of people today that think, oh, I got 31 flavors. I can go to any church I want to. But thank God we have the solid doctrine. And no church is perfect. But God gives grace to the humble. So it has the idea of being humble, following that step of authority within the church, within the government. And, you know, and you say, Pastor, when does the chopping block come down when it says not to agree with the government, say no to the government, if it goes against God's word, Romans chapter 13. Okay, you pay your taxes to the government, you submit to the authority, you pray for them. But if they go against God's word, be very careful, because some people have set themselves up. Some people have been baited by other people's questions. And they've made a complete mess of their lives because they don't get it. And anything that goes against the word of God, I'm not saying for anybody to go out there like it was in James' time, because it wasn't too long before mass persecution broke out. And the same thing could happen anywhere at any time. Nicaragua, I was sharing in Sunday school, I said there are 12 pastors. 12 pastors that did just recently in the news were doing a lot of good. It upset the leaders so much, they decided to make a mock trial of these 12 pastors. And yes, they will be in for 12 to 15 years apiece and up on trumped up charges. And, you know, they didn't do anything wrong, but they were jealous because they thought that their power was slipping from their hands. Typical governments run that way because they want it all. They want to control the people. And today we're seeing a lot of it today is about control. So we have a spirit also that yearns for jealousy because God loves us. We're his children. And if we make that connection, we're like, okay, I'm not of my own. You died on the cross for my sins and I believe in your resurrection. You know what? That's good enough for me, because if I know I'm doing wrong, stepping out of God's will, I need to get right back into it, because there's so much in this world today. And we see what happens with the friend of the world. We're going to see here with the flesh, we're going to look at that, and the devil as well. And it says here in verse 6, God resists the proud, and it has the idea of the flesh. So we have the world, the flesh, and then we have the devil here in verse 7. Therefore, submit, again, it has the idea of being in proper rank. You know, when we're getting out of authority, God takes authority very seriously in our lives. Family, government, churches, all, God takes it very seriously. And so we, you know, as a pastor, I'm submitted to God. I'm submitted to you all. I'm a nobody. I'm just called what I'm supposed to do. And I just leave it at that. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I believe that, you know, one of the things that is really hurting our churches nowadays is discouragement. And, you know, people are like, and I'm quoting here from Charles Swindoll in one of his books, is says, if only I had more money, only if I had better grades, only if I owned a nicer home, if only I had hadn't made a bad investment, if only. And discouragement comes in there. And I shared this Wednesday night. I was like, you almost feel like you're on a hamster going in a wheel, going round and round and round. Some people are so discouraged, they completely forget about God's word. And God's word says, call on the Lord resist him means fight back with the word of God. You just can't be in neutral. You can't go anywhere. You fight back, and by the graces of God, he will flee. But remember with Jesus, the devil fled in the wilderness for a short period of time. Oh, he will be back. I will guarantee you. And it will try to lie to you, deceive you, you know, just build your mind with the wrong kinds of things. So we need to be on guard. So it says, now we're getting to repentance. You know, if we've gone the way of the world, not of God, okay, as we're looking at, we see here repentance. It says here, cleanse your hands. It has the idea that on the outwards part, everybody will see that you've repented. Okay? Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. Second of all, God wants to do a work in us, not necessarily in that order, but people see from the outside first. Second of all, they will see by purifying our hearts. In other words, to cleanse our hearts, because David struggled with that. He says, oh my God, please be merciful unto me. Yeah, Psalms 51, a broken and contrite heart, God will not despise. And when you've been there and done that, you totally understand. When you're struggling with something, give it over to the Lord. Let him take care of it. You can do a better job. Be double-minded. So here's the idea here of going back and forth, you know. You need to settle down, get patient with God, get serious with God. He will get serious with you. So it says here in the third part is with repentance is lament and mourn and meet and weep. Excuse me. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He will lift you up. So we see with that transparency that, you know, on outwardly, if we, you know, repent, and we only know ourselves the best, don't we? And we know when we're truly sorry before the Lord, and we know when we're not being truly sorry with the Lord. But we only fool ourselves if we try any other way from what Scripture has to tell us. So, goes on to the next issue here about judging somebody else. And oh boy, we can all be good at that, don't we? Because we all know better, don't we? But you know what? When I look at myself and I try to compare myself to somebody, I was giving somebody some counseling not long ago. I said, don't ever, ever compare yourself to somebody else. Compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. Easy breezy thinking and you'll be okay. Don't worry about what they're doing or he's doing or what they're doing out there. You know, make sure you're right with God because he has a plan. He has a plan for everybody, for over 8 billion people we have in this world. He has a plan for Israel too, which we know we need to pray for the peace of Israel. Psalms 122, I believe it's in verses 1 through 6, that, you know, we need to pray for Israel, for the peace. But not to judge a brother, do not speak evil of one another. That's number one. So you get in a conversation and somebody starts knocking somebody or just going loose with the mouth and say, hey, you've told me enough. I will keep it in prayer. And we've all been guilty of that. But we have to be careful. First of all, what do? We judge ourselves. What did we have last week? We had the Lord's Supper, right? We judged ourselves. Okay? So we need to be careful about this. This is the way it was in the churches back in that day and as well as today. And whoever judges his brother speaks evil of the law, verse 11, and judges the law. But so in other words, you become the lawgiver. You know, it's interesting. I listened to this Oxford professor the other day. It's fascinating. He was dealing with a man who believed in atheism. And this Oxford professor said, who's a scientist, he says, you know what? You have a law. And you have it in everything that we see. There is a certain law and order. There has to be design. There has to be designer. And so he says, with everything in nature, even our own bodies, was made by a God. There had to have been. Of course, the other guy who was, and he made some other excellent points. We don't have time to get into it. But this other guy used to be a pastor for 19 years. One day he woke up and he was like, you know what, I don't believe in this Bible anymore. I'm not kidding you. And he said that, you know, he was out there preaching and doing everything else the pastor would do. And it makes my heart cringe. And let me tell you something, as a pastor and even as you, as we all are here today, we're all in the same playing field. You got to really ask yourself sometimes and check your salvation and say, Lord, you know, am I really saved? And if you're trying to help somebody out there in the church, you have to be real careful and love them and say, you know, maybe you ought to ask yourself, are you really saved? You know, have you ever accepted Christ as your Savior? Many millions of people are in churches today that are not saved. Many people think because they've said a prayer, easy believism. And I said, it's not that. It's by faith. You believe and you start growing. You start going. And yes, you will have doubts and you will question God and so on and so forth. But that's normal. We all go through it. You know, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13. So he who speaks of the law judges the law, but if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. But there is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another? So in other words, it starts at home with you first of all. So as James is saying to the church then, it is to today, look at yourself. Look at yourself real close. And a lot of times when we start worrying about other people and want to get into other people's business, we do no good. We need to be praying for them because it's God's doing the work. Unless God's called you to help and to minister, then, you know, there's an open door. Verse 13. Now he deals with the issue here of not to boast about tomorrow. And you know what? We can all be guilty of that, just jumping ahead of the Lord, getting ahead of him in his work. And it says, come now. You say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas do you not know that what will happen tomorrow? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. Life has gone by so quick. I get so many people now saying, you know, summer's gone by so quick already. It's past, you know, the halfway point. And the kiddies are getting nervous. When I went out to Boston, I went out to the beach. And all the kiddies are out there with the adults. Hey, we're going to have a good time out here. And they're not even worried about the watch. They could care less. Boy, we're going to rip it up and have good fun out there on the sand and the shore. And you know, just wonderful. But, you know, they need the Lord, too. They need the Lord. And, you know, there's a couple things I have down here. One, because life is complex. It could be very complex. And it doesn't have to be that way if we give it over to the Lord. But there are days when we're trying to sort through everything and we're like, ah, Lord, you take it. Because I don't know what to do with this pile of stuff here, you know. Because life is uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, do we? We don't. You plan each day as if the Lord's going to come back. You get your house in order. You get your life in order. You know you're not perfect. You know you're going to make mistakes. You know you're going to have days of confusion. But you know what? You trust the Lord. Number three, because life is frail. Oh, yeah, it's like a vapor or a shadow. It just passes through like you weren't even here. But what does people will remember you by is the Lord. They will remember you years down the road and say, you know, I know that woman. And that woman was a staunch believer. She was such a blessing to me. She was a mother in the faith. Guys were like fathers in the faith. You know, they weren't perfect, but man, I tell you what, I looked up to them. I will never tell them, but they were something that I looked up to, and I'm so thankful. And there are many of you here today that can say the same thing. You know, I really look up to that person. And then fourthly, life is brief. As Job had put it, I like what Job says. It kind of reminds me because I went to see my grandbaby. First thing she did when she saw me, she cried, you know. It's like, oh, come on. Can't be that hard. give daddy a break or granddad a break. Job 14:1 says, man who is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. I guess she knew trouble was coming, you know. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. And do you open your eyes on such a one and bring me a judgment with yourself? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean one? No one can. Only Jesus Christ. Isn't that the good news? Isn't that makes all the difference? between a believer and an unbeliever? You believe, and it works, because the working of God in you and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit and your growth and your giving glory to God, that's what makes it worthwhile. You're saying, I don't understand this life, and really, I don't either. But I know one thing. We cannot compare, like it says in Romans, what God has for us in heaven. Amen. We have so many blessings, spiritual blessings, that God is saying is so immense, it's so powerful, that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, the things which God has for you. So keep on being faithful. Let me encourage you. So with the frailty of life, verse 15, it says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, I like that. I like that quote. That was given to me by a black preacher years ago when I thought, you know, okay, I understand this, but, you know, there's a lot of things I don't understand about the Bible. And he used to say to me in his prayers, if the Lord wills. And I was like, it makes it so easy. It does. It's hard because of this life and the curse we're under, but it gives us grace, you know. So he was giving me grace to what? To hear. And I wasn't out there scratching my ear thinking, okay, scratch the sweet spot, because, you know, itchy ears and the latter times people will fall away from the faith. They'll give keys to seducing spirit, lying spirits. And so, you know, so it says that the Lord's will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. And we know that. When people get, you don't want to be around people that are always tooting their horn. You know, look what I did. And look at this. Look at that. You know, I've been graciously granted to visit some of you. And I say to this, by the grace of God, I'm very thankful for how God's taken care of you all and how God has provided and how you've worked and how you've been through. You could write a book on your life. And yet, you know, the arrogance has to go and the boasting is evil. So you can't have one without the other. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not, who does it not, to him it is sin. And I'm often reminded of, as we just have a few minutes of, and I wish I had more time, but like with Lot and Abraham, remember it was there with Lot and Abraham, they had a choice. And Abraham was gracious, said, look, you can have whatever you want in the valley out there. Over on one side, you had Sodom and Gomorrah. On the other side, you had other lands to check out. And Lot was like looking around, and the biggest mistake he made, trying to be a friend of the world, he decided, well, you know what? Instead of saying his nephew, he was a kid, and he says, you know what? I'm going to take this side over here, Sodom and Gomorrah, because it looks good. Today's philosophy is, hey, it looks good. Try to love everyone. Universalism, you know, God loves everybody the way you could be gay, you could do, you know, all this, that, and the other. And just the other day, the United Methodist Church, not all of them, have decided to gay, lesbian, bisexual, and the list goes on. You know, it goes so far down the road to the depths of hell, but they're ordaining ministers now to that, of all kinds of colors, of disgusting, perverse colors. And anyway, so Lot chose what was wrong in God's sight. He got in trouble. He became a judge at the gate, so he had this prominence. But what he didn't realize down the road was that there would be a war breakout in Genesis 14. We don't have time to go there. And with the kings there from Sodom and Gomorrah, they took Lot and they went ahead and kidnapped him. So what did Abraham have to do? He had to come back and rescue him. Sometimes in our lives we have to rescue people. And so Abraham went there. He took everything back out of Sodom and Gomorrah, took care of Lot. But did Lot listen? No. Sometimes people don't listen. We try to keep them out of the world. And as because of that, he was oppressed and he was tormented. Remember the two angels that came to rescue Lot, because Abraham was saying, if you could just save 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, would you still spare these cities, these terrible cities? And because God had heard about the cries, but Lot, in the meantime, wouldn't listen until these angels came. The daughters of Lot, their husbands laughed and mocked at this idea of that God was going to destroy the city. And I'm looking at it today. You really don't want to mock God. And then, of course, as we know, God sent judgment. He says, okay, look, if your son-in-laws are going to stay behind, you take his two daughters, you take your wife and yourself and get out of here and go to Zoar. Well, Lot didn't pay attention. One, he went into that cave and he disobeyed, number one. Number two, his wife stayed behind and turned into a pillar of salt. It has the idea, not that she turned around, turned into a pillar of salt, but she lingered behind. That's what it means in the Aramaic and the Hebrew. So she wanted the world. She wanted what it had, and only have a few minutes left. So, and then of course we know Lot got in trouble with his daughters. I'm not going to get into it, but basically they wanted to have children. And so instead of trusting God, they decided to do it the wrong way. And Abraham was the same way too with Hagar, just to remember. You know, God was not patient with, God was patient with Abraham and Sarah, on the other hand. And yet you had both of them doubted God and got in trouble because of that. And so Abraham was obedient to God. You know, he left his own country. He sojourned into a foreign land. He even offered his son Isaac. And then, you know, the gospel calls us to be obedient to the faith. Just be obedient, trust, and obey, for there's no other way to give us the joy, the desire of our heart in him. We must obey from the heart of the doctrine of Christ, Romans 6:17. So we need to be obedient to the Word of God. Get into the Word of God, rightly divide it. You know, help yourself to help others. Woe to those who do not obey the gospel. So, you know, we are today, we go by faith, we believe in this. And so there were other areas that Abraham was weak in his faith, where his nephew Lot had completely blown his testimony. When I'm finishing with this, is that we need to go by based on God's revelation, his word, number one. Number two, we need to be obedient in faith. Number three, we need to be trusting faith. People need to see it, and we need to be growing in faith. So as we're reaching out, we need to ask ourselves, as I close, choose this day whom we will serve. Who are we going to serve? We're going to serve God, or we're going to serve the world. It's real. It's those, that line of demarcation, my friends, could be very cloudy, very smoky, and we have to be very careful, because there are a lot of traps out there. But we can be set free by Jesus Christ. And I think that's all I need to say here, by the graces of God. Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have choices in life to make. And we pretty much know when things come down to what's right and what's wrong. But give us a clear way, a clear path of understanding with people and of love and sound mind, and to be open to people and to be vulnerable. Even if people hurt us, we still need to be hurt because you were hurt. We ask you, Lord, for your graces and goodness. Thank you for the blood of Christ that forgives us of our sins. Thank you for our salvation. Lord, I just pray that somebody online, somebody here has doubts about the salvation. Just remember, Jesus did it once for you, and you have to believe it by faith. Who would come into this world who would die for somebody who we would think is the worst thing, worst person in the world? That would be me or you. I don't know. But I know that he loves us. And I know that we have a Redeemer, and there's no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. And we believe in his death his burial and his resurrection. And we're so thankful, Lord, that we can make the choice with you today. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, ask yourself that question today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.